Well, thank you, ladies. It really is just my blessing to be here with you today. I think just praying about coming and sharing, I'm grateful for Linda. Thank you for asking me to come share. But just knowing that each of you come with incredible stories, what the Lord just has led you through and allowed you to walk through. So just humbling and a privilege to just be here with you today. So as I was really praying about really kind of how to start, because yes, I do want to talk to you about Operation Christmas Child, and Lana's here with us today too, and my mom graciously serves and volunteers short term with Operation Christmas Child with us too, and I think several of you do as well here at Bible Fellowship, because we serve as the central drop-off location for our area for Operation Christmas Child. But as I was really just praying over our time that we had together, God brought me to this verse in Ephesians 2, where it says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God." And a couple things, because we're getting ready. We talk more this time of year than any other year. We should talk for part of the year, even though we should talk all year about Easter and Christ's sacrifice for us and then his victory over death. But when we lead up to Easter, we hear a lot more about that. And so just talking about his grace over our lives, but then also his free gift of salvation, which is what Operation Christmas Child is all about, is sharing that good news of his gift. But the other part of it is my name, Charissa, actually means grace or favor. And so Linda had asked me to start by sharing a little bit of how God brought me to Samaritan's Purse. And so as I was really just praying about this time together, it just reminded me that that is my name. And so it's a privilege to also, yes, the Lord has allowed us to walk through various challenges, but to also come and just praise him before you for his grace and his hand over my life and just how he truly has blessed me over the years. But I want to kick us off. This is actually a little devotional based on this verse from Ephesians by Charles Stanley. So I just want to start by reading this short devotional for you. Are you reading this one this year? Yeah. "Some days you may just need some compassion. Someone who understands your struggles and sympathizes with your hurts. But realize that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you experience God's grace, his benevolence towards humanity, given without regard to merit on our part. In other words, Jesus not only comprehends your pain firsthand and empathizes with you, but he goes beyond that to give you blessings that you don't deserve at all. Grace is a word that remains a mystery to many, even including Christians. This is because deep down, we realize that we deserve death. This is why we often question our worth or adopt destructive habits. We're subject to the consequences of the fall or sin, such as stress, turmoil, toil, pain, disease, hardship, and aging. All this can take its toll. But out of his infinite heart of love, God has provided a means for you to receive life, to experience what he originally created you to enjoy. And this is why God died in your place, so that you might live. That's grace. You have the compassion you long for. So take hold of it and the life your Savior died for you to have." So let me open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this precious time to gather together. I thank you for each one of these women and the stories that they have. And I pray just that their hearts could tell just how you've had your hand so clearly and so graciously, even through the hardships over their lives, Lord. And so we praise you for this time to come together. I thank you for just your grace and your hand over my life and how you continue to lead me and my family and give me the privilege of serving as a small part of one of your ministries here locally and around the world, Lord. And I thank you that you call each one of us to serve you right where you have us, God, with our stories, with the talents and the gifts that you've given us, and in your exact timing that you call us, God. So bless this time together, and I just thank you for the privilege to be able to share what you're doing around the world through Operation Christmas Child. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So Linda mentioned my mom. I did bring some fun pictures for you today. So if you didn't see yet, my mom's sitting in pink right there. One of my favorite things starting out that I just really am grateful to the Lord for is that he did call my parents to serve him as missionaries in West Africa. So if you don't know, that is the country of Cote d'Ivoire. It's right there on the west coast of Africa. And that's where my parents served, and that's where I grew up. They were there before I was even born, and then I was there until I graduated high school. So we would come back one out of every 5 years. We would come back to the States, where my family originally is all from, on the west coast, like the west coast of California, not our Gulf Coast. And so I just treasured that the Lord had me raised in another culture, and I absolutely love the people and the culture and just the experience that he allowed me to have. So this is not currently what it would look like, but just for those of you that might want to know the history, Ivory Coast was named that because initially it was known for all the elephants. So the elephants would be killed for their ivory tusks, and that's how the country initially got its name. Now the elephants are all protected because they were all being killed off. But that lush green behind you see in that picture, that really is what a lot of the area looks like. And then I have to share this because every good missionary family dresses their children up to take a prayer card picture like this. So those are my parents and my two brothers dressed up for a prayer card. Oh, we laugh, but I really do feel privileged that the Lord allowed me to be raised in that country, but also in that culture, and just see him working in the midst of another part of the world. And then in high school, I wanted to show you a couple other pictures just so you could experience, see it a little bit. So that's a typical road, kind of like a market that you would see. Very fun to drive in that traffic with cars and people and more people. But that's a very typical scene. And then outside the cities, the huts will look will vary from village to village, but those are typical, that's a typical village scene that you would see there. A lot of times you'll see people carrying things on their heads. That's how we would carry a lot of heavy things, just on your head. So from kids to adults, that's very typical. And then also carry babies on our backs. And that's, my mom did that with us. She did that with her grandchildren. but just a beautiful culture and beautiful people. And my parents were working at the local International Christian Boarding School in a couple hours outside the capital city. And in high school, I got to meet that cute soccer player in the middle. And by the end of high school, we had become best friends. And this is another just hand of the Lord's grace over my life, is that I was able to meet my husband at my international boarding school in West Africa because his parents were also missionaries serving the Lord in another country, and then they moved to Cote d'Ivoire as well. And so when I graduated, I went back to California to go to college. When he graduated, he came back to Sebring, which is where his family is originally from, and then he joined the Marine Corps. So we did end up getting married, and then we traveled our young adult years and had our children moving wherever the Marine Corps sent us, and that was the initial ministry that the Lord called us to in our young adult years. And there's a picture from one of his homecomings, from one of his deployments, and our three crazy children. And then the Lord called us to settle down here in Florida when he led for it to be time for my husband to leave active duty with the Marine Corps, because his family's from Highlands County and my family was from California. We wanted to settle near family, but we love the warm Florida water. So we picked Florida, but it's okay because my parents have moved here now too. So it all worked out. Grandbabies, like many of you know, will draw the grandparents quite easily. So when we moved here, I was very blessed to get connected with the Champion for Children Foundation. Some of you might be aware. It's a local nonprofit working with our local children and families all about preventing child abuse and neglect, and working with our families that have even had prior abuse or neglect take place, and how can we help support those families moving forward. And that really was a beautiful season. I was with the Champion for Children Foundation about 7.5 years here locally, and just loved serving our community and just serving with families. And even though it's not a Christian nonprofit, most of us were believers who worked there. Our board of directors were very supportive, so we could openly sit and pray with our families. It was a beautiful season, and it still is a very beautiful ministry. Their current CEO is Liz. She goes to church here too. And so if you ever want more information, we can connect you with that organization to serve locally too. But about 4 years ago now, as much as I loved where the Lord had me with the Champion for Children Foundation, my heart was just craving one full-time ministry, and God had just put that in my heart, just that craving to serve him in full-time Christian ministry. And then also, there was still a hole in my heart because I missed where I had grown up. So I loved my childhood. I loved the West African culture. We traveled beyond that. So just being a part of different cultures, and I just missed that. And so I had followed Samaritan's Purse for years. My family has packed shoeboxes with our various churches as we moved with the military. And so I had just kept up to date with things that Samaritan's Purse had going on. But we just kept praying, my husband and I, because we knew that we were settled here and we didn't feel like he was calling us to move. And so we just kept praying about it. And then a little over two years ago, the Lord opened the door for me to serve full time with Samaritan's Purse here remotely from Sebring, Florida, to serve our South Central Florida teams. And so I get to work with our local team and then kind of South and Central, all of our South Central Florida area, working with our local volunteers, all connecting with churches and individuals to pack more shoeboxes to share the gospel. And then this is a picture of my family, so that's more what my children look like now, because they're almost all adults. Our youngest is 16 and our oldest is almost 21. But they came up this last year to the Charlotte, North Carolina Processing Center. So all of our shoe boxes, once we pack them up and here at our church Bible Fellowship, they're put onto trucks and then they are trucked to our closest one, which is actually in Atlanta. But then they go to be processed. There are 8 processing centers around the U.S. So my family came this last year and it was the first time that they had been able to be part of the processing season. So I wanted to show you, one, a current picture of them, but then also my mom came up this year too. So she, if you have any questions, you can ask her about what it was like to process shoeboxes at a processing center this last year. But some of us were talking over our pizza about Samaritan's Purse. And so I do want to just give you a little bit of a summary, because a lot of times here in Florida, we know, if you've heard of Samaritan's Purse, it's likely you know about it because of disaster relief, maybe after a hurricane or something like that. And then definitely because Hurricane Helene came over us, but then kept going up to North Carolina last year. So they've been in the news even more because the headquarters for Samaritan's Purse is located in Boone, North Carolina. And that was in one of those harder hit areas. So we were blessed to serve the local community at our headquarters in ways that haven't been needed before. So can you imagine if we had like a big organization based here out of Sebring, we knew what they did, but they didn't serve necessarily locally. And all of a sudden a need came up and now they could serve locally. Everyone in the community is like, oh, this is what you've been doing for so many years, because all of a sudden the need was there locally. And so they were able to pour into their neighbors. And it's just been beautiful, story after story of people coming to know Christ because their local Samaritan's Purse disaster relief team and a lot of staff are just going out and volunteering and helping clean up after that hurricane. But there are actually quite a few programs of Samaritan's Purse, but everything that Samaritan's Purse does is all to share the gospel. So we go out and we address physical needs, but also that we can share and address their spiritual needs. So whether they're going out and serving a family cleaning up after a hurricane, or we partner with doctors who will come and they will do heart surgeries for children that are coming from very poor parts of the world where they need this heart, this life-saving surgery, or they won't be able to grow and survive. And so we are able to work with those children. They travel with one parent and they go sometimes to the U.S., sometimes to hospitals in Europe, and they can have heart surgery. It's called Children's Heart Project. There are doctors that will come and do cleft lip and cleft palate surgeries. So a lot of the health surgeries and needs as well are addressed. And one of my favorites is Operation Heal Our Patriots, because I'm married to a veteran. So they have programs throughout the summer in Alaska where they invite disabled veterans and their spouses to come for a week, have some adventures, go fly fishing, go flying on little airplanes, you know, adventure up in Alaska. But during that, they are pouring in. There is marriage counseling available. But what's most important is they are telling them about Christ and they're sharing the gospel. And so we're seeing some of our veterans that have just been struggling with PTSD and other things, and they're being baptized in the cold water in Alaska. It is just beautiful to see that ministry. So multiple ministries, you can go on SamaritansPurse.org and look them all up. Get your tissues ready because they do videos really well. So you can watch story after story of these videos and I promise you, you will probably tear up in a good way. But who can guess what the biggest program of Samaritan's Purse is? Oh, good guess! And it's not just because we're proud, Lana, right? It really is. And a few of us were talking about this over pizza as well. So the whole goal of Operation Christmas Child is to open doors to share the gospel. Yes, it's fun to pack a shoebox full of toys and dolls and hygiene items and school supplies because we know these are going to parts of the world where they don't have a Walmart or it's a really hard to reach area. And so we are able to bless the children. But what this box does is it opens the doors for those local pastors to get into these communities, yes, bring gifts to the children, but ultimately to open the door so they can share the gospel with the children and the truth of Christ and his sacrifice, his free gift to us. So it really is that tangible expression of God's gift to us. And it really, our churches, like our church here, Bible Fellowship, partnering with churches internationally. So we are pretty much equipping them. Here's your supplies. And then they get to go out and have outreach events and share the gospel. And one of the side benefits that we've seen of now over 30 years of Operation Christmas Child, we have over 80,000 churches in the U.S. partnering with Operation Christmas Child to pack shoeboxes. And we have just as many, over 80,000 churches internationally partnering to receive the shoeboxes. And so when you think of that spread around the globe, when a disaster strikes or a war, like in Ukraine, Samaritan's Purse can get into these countries so quickly because they already have contacts on the ground. And the government and the customs already know about Samaritan's Purse. And so Operation Christmas Child and our international partners, but then also locally, if we had a disaster here, let's say another hurricane, we hope not, comes through and devastates Highlands County, Samaritan's Purse would call our church and say, how can we help? What do you need? Because we're a church, we're a partner with them, with Samaritan's Purse. And that same thing is happening internationally. So we're seeing that in quite a few countries, whether it's a disaster, an earthquake, a war. Because we have all of these direct partners already established, the door's already open for Samaritan's Purse to come in and say, how else can we help? So it really is neat to see how the Lord continues to just use and grow the ministry. So last year, I want to tell you a beautiful story because last year I was blessed to go participate in some outreach events, which is where we actually go out and distribute the shoeboxes. So I was blessed to go to Paraguay, which is in South America. And this is a picture, that is Pastor Alcides and his wife Claudia, and also a picture of the front of their church. And their church is in San Lorenzo, which is a town about 45 minutes away from the capital city. And they've been partnering with Operation Christmas Child for quite a few years. So what their church family does is every year they pray that the Lord will lead them to a certain part of their community. And then they spend all year going out to that community, connecting with them, talking and meeting families. And then at the end, they have what ends up being more in the summertime. They set up an outreach event and they invite all the kids to come to their church for this special event for the children. But these are it's a specific community that they've been building those relationships in all year long. And this last year, the Lord actually led them to two different parts of their community. One was a kind of normal neighborhood for the city. And then the second was actually a very poor part of town where these are the homes that the families are living in. Shelters made of wood and tarps and brick, whatever they could gather. And then we were told whatever the families didn't need for their homes, they would sell. And that would be their only source of income. And so those were the two groups, they had these two groups of children that they invited on this set day to come and be part of this special event. What's really cool is the kids had no idea that they were getting presents. They didn't say, come to the church on this day to get a present. They were just invited to come to a fun event with this church family that they've been connected with because they would see them week after week after week in their community. So on this day, the children, and you can see in this picture, it's a beautiful church with wooden pews. They had the children come, and this was actually a good size. They had about 120 children there that day. And they had the boys all sitting by age on one side and the girls all sitting by age on the other side. And it really reminded me of some of the vacation Bible schools that we have here in the U.S. because they started with some of the teenagers up on stage singing and dancing all the fun little songs. But you could tell that the kids, they were excited to be there and they were having fun and they were following along. But you could tell they didn't know the songs. So these are children that, a lot of them, this is their first time in church. So it was neat to see them be engaged, but it showed how they really, this is a group of children that don't normally come to church. They didn't know these songs. And then you can see the teacher, because not everywhere we go do we have beautiful screens and technology like we have here. So Samaritan's Purse provides all of our international pastors who go through a training, just like our local team of volunteers go through Operation Christmas Child training. Our international Operation Christmas Child teams go through training. So no matter what country, no matter what language, everyone is presenting the same gospel message. And the ministry provides these big pamphlets so that the kids can see the pictures when we don't have electricity and we don't have screens. And so you see in that there are two teenagers holding them up as the teacher's going through. And she did a beautiful job of engaging these kids, because you think you have young little 4-year-olds all the way up to 16-year-olds that you've got to keep engaged in the same presentation. But she started, because this really begins from the very beginning. God created. And I loved how she started, because she was saying, God created the animals. And she had the kids say, wow. So God created the animals.
Wow.
Here, I'm going to ask your help. Will you flip that to the next one up for me? Because then she said, God created Adam and Eve. Oh, it'll be one more. There's more animals. Wow. Thank you for your help. God created Adam and Eve, and God said that we are perfecto. So God says we are
perfecto,
yes. And so this continues to go through, talking about how, yes, God created us, and we are wonderfully and beautifully made. However, none of us are essentially perfect. We all sin. And so talking through our need for a Savior, and how Christ came as that sacrifice and offered as a sacrifice in our place. Going through three of the main key miracles that Jesus did as he walked on the earth. So the entire gospel presentation, then ultimately of his sacrifice in our place. But then our Easter story that we're celebrating right now, he didn't stay dead. He rose and he's alive. Your Savior is alive. So she did a beautiful job of walking through the gospel presentation. And then at the end, she said, if any of you want to be a friend of Jesus, pray this prayer with me. And it was so sweet to see. There was no pressure. She didn't even have them raise their hand. It was just, if you want to pray and accept Jesus as your Savior and be a friend of Jesus, pray this prayer with me. So beautifully done. She did a wonderful job of keeping all those ages engaged. And then after she was done, she said, and now we have a special gift for you. And so we, along with some of the teenagers, helped pass out these little booklets that are called the Greatest Gift Booklet. This one, if you want to look at it afterwards, is in English, but we were passing them out in Spanish, because that's one of the main languages there. And so it was so sweet that we passed these out, and each child got their own Greatest Gift Booklet. And what this is it's the Apostle John, it's from the book of John, again, walking through more in depth the story of Jesus. So every child got this. You could tell some of them were just hugging it. Some started flipping through it, because especially in the poorer areas, you can imagine this is probably the only book that might be in their house now. But it also now is their book. So they have one that they get to keep. So it was beautiful just to see the excitement, because we're like, they have no idea what's coming. They're so excited about this little booklet. Because when you walked into the church, I actually was looking for our shoeboxes. I'm like, we're supposed to pass out shoeboxes. Where are they? And if you look at the pictures, you can't see them, can you? So they were actually on both sides of the front of this church, but with sheets over the cartons that they were in. So it really was subtle. It wasn't the main point of the presentation or anything. Until then, she said, and now we have another gift for you. And so the kids are like, woo, so excited. And so we were blessed to one at a time pass out in their individual shoe boxes. And this was just my favorite. So absolutely humbling, because I know that whoever packed this shoebox, I hope, has been praying for the child who's receiving this shoebox. And even if the person who packed the shoebox didn't pray, the people who received the shoebox at church were praying. At the processing center, it was prayed over. When it was packed, it was prayed over. When it was unpacked off the truck locally in Paraguay, it was prayed over. And so I know that God knows exactly what's in this shoebox, and God knows exactly what's going on in that child's heart and mind, and what he's going to use miraculously in this shoebox just to make himself real to that child. And so one at a time, we got to pass out the shoeboxes, and then we said, Jesus, te ama. Jesus loves you. And one at a time, pass out the shoeboxes. And they did great, because the pastor, Alcides, had said, you just have to hold your shoebox. You can't open it. So you can see in that picture, the boys were doing well. And so until everyone had their shoebox, and then they had them drum on the shoebox, and then they counted down from cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno. And they got so excited, and they all just tore open their shoeboxes, just the joy of looking. A lot of them had cards and notes in their shoeboxes, and that was the first thing they wanted to read. And so we had translators there with us. If it was in English or in another language, they would help read the card. So I encourage all of you to put notes in your shoeboxes, because there weren't that many on this outreach event, but every child who had a note in their shoebox, that was their favorite thing. Because it shows, this isn't just mass packed. This is Catherine in Florida packed this shoebox for me. They don't know who Catherine is, but it just makes that so much more personal to them. So I encourage you to write personal notes. And I actually found myself, when they were all excited, I found myself in the back of the room by the younger girls, like the 10 to 14 year old young ladies. And going into this event, my main prayer, because I only speak a handful of Spanish words, my main prayer was, Lord, just allow me to be able to communicate. Like, selfishly, I would love to know what's going on in a child's heart and really be able to experience what the shoebox means to that child. And so I found myself in the back by these teen girls, and this one young girl, she opens up her shoebox and she pulls out a little Beanie Baby owl like this. And she gets so excited, and she hugs it, and she looks up at me, and she says, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so my heart's just bursting. So I'm like, well, that little Beanie Baby means so much to you. You're so excited over this. And then I also thought, well, you at least speak two words of English. So I went over to her, and I have a picture to show you. Her name is Nicole, and she's 11 years old. And I just went and sat by the young ladies next to her, kneeling by them, and just enjoying watching them open their shoeboxes and just have fun. They would show each other what they were pulling out. And I asked Nicole, I said, oh, where are you learning English? Are you learning English in school? And she said, no, on Duolingo, which is a language learning app that you can have on your phone for free. And, well, you can pay for other versions too, but they have a free version. And she said she wants to learn English because she loves America and she wants to come to America someday. And so she was speaking English very well, much, much better than my broken few Spanish words. And so at the end, I asked them to hold, I said, what is your favorite thing in your shoebox? And you can see the young lady next to her. Her name is Luz. And her favorite thing was that little calculator. And it was just cute to see, just each one had different things that really just was their favorite item. And so Nicole, when I asked her what her favorite thing was, she held up the little owl. So of course I had to ask her, what are you going to name the owl? And she said, Duolingo. Because the logo for the Duolingo program is the little head of an owl. And so God used what we would think as a little graduation Beanie Baby owl that were donated probably by the millions to Samaritan's Purse, or someone had this and they wanted to put it in their box, because we've seen quite a few come through. But God put that in her shoebox knowing that that's what would make her feel seen by him. Just that he knows that I have this love. And we know he put that passion in her heart and has given her that gift and talent to be able to learn another language. And so it's so exciting just to watch the joy that came from all the things in their shoeboxes, but ultimately for Nicole, specifically that little Duolingo owl that was in her shoebox. But one of the things I love to share too is why do we pack shoeboxes? Because there are other things, there's other programs, other ways we could do this. But really the shoebox, we call them gospel opportunity boxes or go boxes for gospel opportunity. Because it really does start with opening the doors for evangelism. Like I said, pastors in all these other countries, over 100 countries a year, are receiving shoeboxes. And so these pastors are praying about ways that they can get into these parts of the communities that have not heard the gospel before, and get into the parts of their communities that they know there are children who aren't going to church, who've never heard about their Savior. And because they can go to either the leaders of that village, or they can go into the leaders of that community, or even just the parents, and have an open door to be able to connect and bring the children to have an outreach event. Because yes, they can say, oh, we will be bringing presents. Like, they can share that with the adults. But the kids don't know that they're getting gifts. And so it's beautiful to see how God will use a simple shoebox to open that door for evangelism. And then it doesn't just stop there, because every single child who goes to an outreach event, yes, they receive their little booklet and their awesome shoebox gift full of presents just for them, but each child at the outreach event is invited to come back to a program called the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. And this is a 12-lesson program where it goes back through in much more depth, all from creation all the way through, again, how we have everyone sinned, and no one can be perfect, and how we need a Savior, to then how Christ came and he lived and he walked on this earth, and then he died for us, sacrificed in our place. But he didn't stay dead. He conquered death and he rose from the dead. And so going through much more in depth through that in this discipleship program, to then partway through, it talks about if you'd like to accept Christ. And there's actually a spot where the kids can write their name and the date that they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. And those are the salvations that Samaritan's Purse counts and keeps track of for Operation Christmas Child. So when we get excited, and I have a slide to show you in a second, of how many kids are coming to know Christ through our shoebox gifts, it's not at an outreach event where they maybe might raise a hand, or at the end of it, so many children might tell the pastor they made that decision to follow Christ. It's only through the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. Because we want to make sure, yes, it's great, the gospel will spread from hearing a shoebox, receiving their greatest gift. We have full confidence. This is from the book of John. God will use this to share his message and reach more people. But we want to give the children the opportunity to be mentored and discipled, to really know, okay, I heard about Jesus, now what do I do? How do I live? So there's one of the lessons is all about living as a believer. And then the last lesson is about, now that you've become a Christian, how do you share your faith? So we now are equipping these young little missionaries to go out into their communities and share the gospel through receiving a shoebox and going through the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. But they also now are connected with that local pastor, that local church family. And so this is how we're seeing the multiplication piece, because churches are being planted, churches are growing, more families are coming, all through our simple shoebox gifts. And so that's one of the reasons we love to say, pack more go boxes, because they really are gospel opportunity boxes. And then these are the numbers from last year. And so it's incredible when you think, because this year in 2024 are the shoeboxes that are being distributed now. So some of the shoeboxes get where they need to be going by Christmas. Some of them do, because sometimes they just have to drive down to Mexico or somewhere. But a lot of the ones like ours that end up on the continent of Africa, it takes a little longer to get there. And so really now is the season where we're seeing all these outreach events take place. So we don't have the numbers yet from the outreach events because they're currently taking place this year. But last year in 2024, 11.9 million shoeboxes were collected in 2024. Almost 12 million shoeboxes! So that's almost 12 million kids who are going to receive a shoebox and hear about their Heavenly Father who created and loves them just from 1 year of all of us packing shoeboxes and collecting shoeboxes. So from the numbers in the previous year, because these are the outreach events that took place last year, we break those down by day. And I love this slide. Through our shoeboxes, that top left corner, you'll see 31,000 children a day are hearing the gospel through shoeboxes. What? 31,000 children a day. And then even better than that, in that bottom right hand, almost 9,000 are accepting Christ as their personal Savior every single day. And it gets even better because to me that's still a huge number, and you really want, I want you to remember every shoebox is, represents a face, a child, a heart. So when we start talking millions and thousands, it's like, oh, that's incredible. But really don't ever lose sight when you're packing a shoebox. Pray for that one. Just one more. One more matters. It's worth it for one more kid to hear the gospel and know the truth of their Heavenly Father who created them. But when you take that 8,930 number and you break it down by hour, in the hour that we will have been together this afternoon, 372 kids will have given their hearts to Christ through outreach events. Isn't that amazing? Through our simple shoebox gifts. So it's just incredible to see what the Lord does. And for me personally, because if any of you pack a shoebox, I hope you know that there's an option to pay the $10 donation online. And what that donation pays for is all of this. One, it helps pay to get the shoebox to the country it's going to, but it also covers all of these support materials we've been talking about. The Greatest Gift booklet. And when the kids graduate from the discipleship program, they get their own New Testament Bible in their own language. And then also for the presentation materials for the teachers, so this presentation booklet. So that is also what our $10 donation goes to help cover with each box. But if you pay your donation online, you can select to track your shoebox. And so that's the fun part, because then you can know what country your shoebox ends up in. So now you can say, okay, I packed a shoebox, I prayed over my shoebox, but if you track it, now you can go back online, usually sometime in December, the end of December, beginning of January, go online, enter your email or whatever you put in when you pay it online, and you can see what country it's going to. So now you can pray for the child in Peru who's going to receive your shoebox, because you now know where your shoebox is going. Because as soon as they're put on the shipping container, your shoebox has been scanned, and we know where that shipping container is on its way to. So that's how we can track it even right away in December, if it might not get there until February. But 2 years ago, because my kids all want to enter their own email addresses, because we all want to know where our shoeboxes go. And 2 years ago, my oldest, one of her shoeboxes went to Cote d'Ivoire. So one of her shoeboxes went to the country that her parents grew up in. And that to me is just an incredible gift and just that confirmation in my heart of just how really the Lord has brought the journey he's allowed me to have full circle. Even from here in Sebring, I get to be part of getting the gospel message back to the country that my parents served in as missionaries. So just beautiful, again, his gracious hand just providing that to come full circle. And I'd love to, well, actually, let me, if anyone has questions, we have a little bit of time. I'd love to answer any questions you might have. And then I have one more thing I want to close with. But anyone have any questions about Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse? Yes, Miss Catherine?
Well, I'm just curious because I've been looking at all the devastation with the earthquake in Bangkok and Myanmar. And I'm just wondering if there's anything set up for that.
Yes. So if you want, you also, so her question was, is anything with the recent earthquakes taking place in Myanmar and Bangkok? So yes, Samaritan's Purse actually has already, I think yesterday, deployed their first cargo plane with a whole field hospital on it. So it's incredible. It's like a military grade field hospital with volunteer nurses and doctors that are on standby, just passionate to serve the Lord. And so I believe that just went out yesterday or maybe the day before. But if you go to SamaritansPurse.org, they do a really good job of keeping on the main page updates and stories of what's going on. And so yes, they are already, well now, they're on the ground. But again, the beautiful thing is a lot of that comes from our Operation Christmas Child contacts in all of these countries, because we already have local churches to partner with. We already have the blessing of many of these government or government officials, and then sometimes the customs. Not always, but we already are well known in some of these areas, and so it makes it that much easier for us to respond very quickly. So yes, our international team has already responded to at least one of those areas in Myanmar, I know. But go on the website, because you can keep up with stories too. And on Facebook, they do really well with their Facebook stories.
I had a question. I noticed on the website not to put soap no longer in the box. But my real question was, if you put something in there that shouldn't be in there, say by mistake you put in soap or like a toothpaste or something, mm-hmm. And I know they go through the warehouse just to check to make sure there's, you know, nothing dangerous and all that. Like the soap or toothpaste or whatever odd thing you put in by mistake, do they take those things and hand them out to local churches or food banks or, you know,
Yes. Very good question. I love it. So her, I don't know if you could all hear her question was, there are certain things that you should not put in a shoebox, and that again is listed online. Really, it's anything that would damage the shoebox, damage what's in the shoebox, be detrimental to the child who would receive it, or do damage to the whole shipment. So that's liquids, food, obviously any weapons or anything like that. So there is a list on the website if you want to check it out. But that's the goal behind anything that we say should not be packed in a shoebox, is so it doesn't hurt the box, doesn't hurt the child, doesn't hurt, keep it from getting through customs. So one of the new things we're seeing this year is that we have put soap on that list now. It's kind of been in the process of coming because more and more countries are restricting soap getting into through customs and into their countries. Part of that is because here in the U.S. we put a lot of random things in our soap products, like pig products, which can't get into a lot of our Muslim countries, but also other countries have much stricter laws about what can be on things that go on your skin than we have here in the U.S. So over the last few years, we've been seeing more and more issues with soap getting through customs. So finally, just as a ministry saying, hey, if this is across the board going to keep our shoeboxes from getting into the country and getting into the hands of our local pastors to tell kids about the gospel, let's not pack it. And so soap is a new one this year. So when the shoeboxes leave, here is a great example, because again, Bible Fellowship serves as our central drop-off location. So all our local shoeboxes come here right that week before Thanksgiving every year, where then they are packed on several trucks and then trucked up to Atlanta, which is our closest processing center. And in Atlanta, the whole reason we have to have a processing center is just to make sure of that. One, we want to make sure everything's going to fit and be packed right, but also in the cartons. But then also, if there is anything in the shoeboxes, such as food that would attract rodents or liquid or anything, you just forget, oh, but I packed soap. Those things are taken out because each shoebox, each of our almost 12 million shoeboxes are processed individually by volunteers every year. Isn't that incredible? In 8 processing centers around the U.S., and we know it will be over 12 million shoeboxes this year because we were almost there last year. So each shoebox individually has gone through to make sure that none of those inappropriate items are in there, and then they are actually put in an inappropriate bin on the processing table. And what Samaritan's Purse has done over the years is they have an app, a very, I've seen it, it's a simple one-page, like 5 questions, application for local nonprofits to submit and say, we serve, because the heart of all of us who pack shoeboxes is for it to go to children, right? Especially children in need. And so if it's something like soap or liquid or toothpaste that shouldn't be packed in a shoebox, we still want, to the best of our ability, to have that serve a child in need. And so local nonprofits around each processing center fill out that very brief application, and most of them return every year, and they come and they can collect those items. And that's where they're distributed locally around each of our processing centers. So, very good question.
Ms. Bach. I saw, I think it was Fox News, where they actually showed the hospital arriving, you know, and how they were unpacking the pillows and putting the pillowcases on, and just step by step.
And I believe that interview, it might, if it's the same one I'm thinking, Franklin Graham just did an interview, and it might have been on Fox.
Yeah.
And it does show clips behind the scenes of unpacking pillows and setting up the hospital. And so if you want, I'm pretty sure they will by now have linked that on the main page. So if you want to check out some of those videos, go to SamaritansPurse.org, and you can see those videos as well. But it is incredible. I mean, you see they're just loading, like, by the pallets. Just huge tarped pallets, and you know that's all the med. I mean, these are field hospitals. I think they have 2 or 3 surgery beds. It's incredible what they can do and be very mobile. God has definitely continued to bless the organization as a whole. But I can say, because I'm internal now with the organization, that I really believe it's because everything is so thoroughly prayed over. So this is not so that the name of Samaritan's Purse can be known around the world. Everything they do is directly in conjunction with those local churches. So that after whatever it is that's going on is over, we don't want the locals to think, oh, Samaritan's Purse did this. They know their local church did this. So again, if I use our example, we pray it doesn't happen. But if Highlands County gets devastated by a hurricane and our church says, yes, please, you can be based out of Bible Fellowship Church, our community wouldn't think, oh, that was Samaritan's Purse. They would think, wow, Bible Fellowship Church families served us food, provided water, and all of those things. And so it's a beautiful thing that it's not about the name of an organization, and leadership continues to pray over that just for direction, because obviously we can't respond to everything, but the Lord keeps providing and opening doors, and we know that's also that we can share the gospel. That's the reason we're going there. Yes, we want to provide that physical healing, but it's also that while we're doing that, we can just share the love of Christ with these families and kids in very, very hard situations. So please keep praying for the Lord's hand, gracious hand, to just keep opening doors for Samaritan's Purse as a whole to continue to be wise and serve the Lord and have what's needed to go where he sends us. But then also it's neat to think about how we're called here to serve locally too. So as if you want to come back here and serve with our local team and serve that week before Thanksgiving, collecting shoeboxes and just thanking people as they drop off their shoeboxes, our local team is led by Deb here and Bonnie in our church. And so I know they would love extra hands to help during that week. But it's another ministry that our church can have, serving our local community and just pouring into those who are locally bringing a shoebox, who maybe you've never even come to church before, or they don't even know why. They just heard about it at Chick-fil-A, or they were out of town and they picked up a box at Hobby Lobby, and they want to pack a box, and then found our church as the closest place to drop it off. So it's neat to see even locally how God is using the ministry just to share his love and his gospel. Good question. Yes.
Is that time for the slipper story?
Oh. So the slipper story is a cute story. It's not my story. But off the top of my head, I'm not even going to guess, because I'm there. Again, go onto the website, because there are beautiful testimonies of just things that God has prompted people to put in shoeboxes that are so clearly an answer to prayer, or so obviously what that child needed. I mean, I've heard stories of even a shoebox that was full of socks and like the long socks, and you think, who would pack? I mean, no child's going to be super excited to get a box that's mostly like long knee-high socks. And that child had sores up and down his legs, and the bandages wouldn't stay on his legs. And when he got that box, he was so excited because there were socks and he could put them on, and that sealed and held all his bandages onto all of his sores on his legs. So he was very excited to get socks. But my mom's favorite story, and I'm again not, I don't remember where it was, but it was at an outreach event that one of my peers was on, and they had the whole time, this Samaritan's Purse staff member, his name is Mark, and he's a big guy, and he said the whole time there was this tall teenager who just stood out to Mark because he was like head and shoulders above all the other kids. So very tall, like 15 or 16 year old. So this kid just kind of caught Mark's attention. And they did, they had the gospel presentation, they passed out the shoe boxes, and everyone was just playing with the kids and celebrating. And all of a sudden Mark looks over, and this tall teenager is holding his shoebox with these fuzzy purple women's slippers on top of the shoebox. And Mark says his heart just dropped. He's like, somehow he got a girl box. And so then the pastor and the interpreter were waving Mark over. So he's like, oh man. So he walked over, and through the interpreter, this probably 15, 16 year old boy was tearing up and crying. And so Mark thought he was upset because he got a girl box. And then through the interpreter found out that this young man, he's the oldest in his family, a bunch of kids. His mom is pregnant again, and her legs are super swollen, and she's just struggling with this pregnancy. And as this young man was coming to this event that he was invited to, a fun event at church, in his heart of hearts, he was just praying for something for his mom. And so when he opened up his shoebox, he had purple women's slippers in an otherwise totally teenage boy box with the, everything else was teenage boy stuff, with fuzzy purple women's slippers, just his mom's size, and purple is his mom's favorite color. And so he was just like, that was praying to God that he didn't even know yet. Just let there be, I want something just for my mom. And he got purple women's slippers in his boy box. Like, so only God. So if I say, I honestly used to never pack shoes in my shoe boxes because, oh me of little faith, I used to think, well, I don't know what size shoe they need. I don't know what I should put in the box. And now it's really fun. Like, I walk through the store and I'm just praying, like, okay, God, like, what shoes do you want me to put? Because he knows. And even though for me, I am constantly amazed at the logistics that are involved in getting our shoe boxes from Highlands County all the way to Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa. Like, that's just the logistics of, and how every box is tracked and the numbers, and the pastors know how many they're getting, and it works out for how many kids come to the outreach events, and the boys and the girls, and God works. I mean, that's just, our heads can hardly even wrap around it. And Samaritan's Purse has some amazing logistics teams. But even with that, like, just knowing, God knows. He knows when you're starting to pack this box, he already knows who's going to receive that shoebox and what that child needs. And so it's kind of exciting to then be like, all right, Lord, what size shoe? What color? What do you want to put in this box? So if he leads you to put extra Band-Aids or a double pair of shoes or something like that, don't doubt it. Just pray over it and pack it in your shoebox. Purple slippers and a boy box. We don't know, but God does. So thank you. That is a fun story. So let me close. I'd love to close from, again, just in Ephesians. I would love to just close and pray over you from Ephesians 3, starting in verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, to not be discouraged because of sufferings, which are for your glory. I pray that out of his glorious riches, our heavenly Father may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in you, in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray over us. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for these women and just their hearts for you and how they desire to support each other and walk through seasons together, Lord. And we thank you for our church family here at Bible Fellowship. Thank you for their willingness to open doors for ministries like the Naomi Group and even serving with Operation Christmas Child, God, not only to reach and to unite our community and to open doors to share about your love and your hope that we can have in you as our Heavenly Father, Lord, but also with the various ministries and missionaries and how we can do that right here through a simple shoebox gift, that we can be missionaries for you, sending your gospel all around the world, Lord. And so we just pray your hand over the various ministries that each one here are part of. I pray that you continue to give them strength, be their encouragement, God. And most importantly, we just continue to praise you for your grace, for your love over our lives and your direction over each one of us, God. We praise you for that. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.